Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Intern Capital. Wah. Everyone knows interns make the world go round, so when it comes to picking out your interns, make sure you choose the best. The best, you say? That's right, the best. And everyone knows all the best interns come from Intern Capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter and keep an eye out April 14th for the Intern FT Mint launching on One Planet. Links are in the show notes. And for more information, check out intern.capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter for daily ship posts and stock tips. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, the Fezzen Protocol... Fezzen. The Fezzen Protocol? Is it Fezzen? Shit. The Fezzen Protocol AMA with Anchor, hosted by Donku. Let's take a listen.
Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning.
It does help a little bit to add a few of the larger accounts as speakers. It sort of attracts a lot more attention quicker for AMAs.
Yeah, great idea, Master AMA, Seth.
So, just a little trick there to get some visibility.
No, it's awesome having you on.
Danku is here. Okay. Oh, I have to remove one of them, like, for inviting Danku. Should I remove Anchor or Nate?
I think Anchor is going to have the biggest pull. Donku should be made co-host. You can actually just add me as a speaker, though. I don't okay. Need to be.
We'll do.
A co-host.
Okay.
I don't have the following that Steffi and Donku have. Demote me.
Do we know?
Hey, gentlemen, what's up?
Hello. Another AMA week.
I have a feeling I haven't talked to you, Nate, in like months, but I think
it's not that long ago, right? It's been 2 weeks, but 2 weeks is what? I think crypto terms is almost like 6 or 8 months, maybe, right?
Yeah, even more because I tried to do my tax in the last 3 days.
Oh, God, I know. That added another year to my life, too.
Yeah, you know, but in Germany, I figured out you can move your tax into even next year if you basically collaborate with a tax advisor. So I said, like, no, next year. Future me will handle.
Oh, man. I don't know if I'd want to have two tax years and one after this tax year.
That's why I pay somebody else to do this stuff in the future. It's like, come on, somebody else should do this. But let's see, probably in jail. But in jail, I have water, I have bread. Do you have nice jails over there in the U.S. or should I stay more?
No, stay in Europe when it comes to jails.
Okay, good stuff. Should we wait a few more minutes before we get it going? I think, how many people do we have? 100. Well, looking good already.
Yeah, right on.
So cool. Yeah, I mean, maybe Nate, we just I need a few more infos of what Anchor Protocol right now is doing before we focus on Fezzen Protocol, or you basically also tell me how to pronounce it correctly, which probably is not the right way how I'm saying this, and then we have 5 minutes in and then we can start with this AMA. What is the latest alpha on Anchor Protocol, sir?
Let's actually drop some alpha and then, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just saying like Vizen is fine.
Vizen, yeah, great. All right, cool. Yeah. Yeah, so what do we got alpha-wise? We always have alpha, right? How about this? How about anchor borrow v2.1? How about that?
You can also tell me if OXHAMS is already working with you on a daily basis.
he's been pinging us on Telegram. We've got some open channels with him, so that's nice. Certainly some good input from him. We had a powwow, him, I, and Joe maybe a few nights ago, so that was great. Yeah, a lot of people are working on the earn side, and I think there'll be some alpha on that coming out soon too. A lot of stakeholders from Jump and other big stakeholders coming together to figure out a possible resolution to like capital controls on the earn side. I will say that. So that's some alpha on that front. That's exciting. We haven't really done anything outside of like the dynamic rate change that goes into play on May 1st. And then on the borrow side, yeah. We need to kind of recalibrate. And I think as I mentioned last time we did an AMA, we really need to make the borrow side as frictionless and seamless as the earn side, right? That's been kind of our success on the earn side has been kind of part of our Achilles heel, right? It's almost too easy to put money into the earn side. So we need to figure out how to make it too easy to borrow, right? So looking at that in ANC borrow v2.1, we're trying to iterate on what we already did in v2. And if everyone recalls, v2 is moving away from staking derivatives, like bonded assets that deliver staking returns to the protocol. We're moving away from that because of how long it took. Just think of how long it took to get BATOM on, BSOL, right? It's still like not even, we're almost there on that. That should be like next week. There's another alpha piece coming. And yeah, moving towards the capital efficiency of liquid staking derivatives, right? Auto compounding liquid staking derivatives. That was V2, right? But we need to make that simpler. There's a lot of institutional demand. There's a lot of whale demand that just want to borrow Luna, right? So that's as far as I'll go with the alpha. There'll be a forum post coming, so I'll direct you guys to keep checking the forum there with some anticipation that I've got a post coming there tabulating this out more. I don't want to give away too much because I want to drive traffic to the forum.
Last time you said that you have enough traffic for now, but I see that it's probably slowing down.
Slowed down a little bit. Yeah, it slowed down a little bit. People kind of accepted that the dynamic rate change is happening, and that's tapered off. So we got to ramp up a little more excitement over there with ANC borrow v2.1.
You know what is excitement on my side besides listening to you is, do you have a little monkey in your background screaming there, or what is that?
It's a really rare bird. I live on the edge of a mangrove, and so there's a lot of like different birds, and sometimes in the morning, yeah, they make those calls. And there are monkeys out there too, but you didn't hear a monkey. It's a bird sounding like a monkey.
Nah, you need the apes always close. Ape follow ape.
Exactly.
Okay, no, I mean, good that we start talking about the forum immediately, and I'll have an eye on that one to see the new alpha coming in. And I mean, it's getting a long list on Anchor Protocol on the borrow side, right? There are more and more, five do we have right now, right? If I'm not mistaken, be Luna, be ETH, be Atom, we have the AVAX, and then soon Sol, be Sol, which is cool. And then, so which one is the sixth one you said, Nate?
That'll be native ETH, right? Well, actually, as we go live on Ethereum, right? So I don't think that's a new asset, but we'll probably be, you know, Phantom and Polygon are on the list. We're still looking at those because Phantom, some weird energy there right now, right? It's just like, is that project doomed or not? I don't know, honestly. So do we really want to put dev effort into that? That's the questions come up lately with, you know, the rage quitting that happened there. And so we'll see. But Phantom could be on the list. Polygon, again, also on the list. Dot, that's a new one, right? That one will be native Dot. That should, I think, sometime in May. Again, we're still, depends on like Stator and Lido and how they get that liquid staking derivative going, and how the new borrow model implements. But over the next quarter here, we should be looking at those.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, as you said, Stator will also go on Phantom if they have a staking derivative, like Luna X, if it's Phantom X. That could be something interesting. If I think they move on, it's too big to fail. It should not be based on one person. Yeah, but I mean, if we would lose our stable master, then it would also hurt, of course.
yeah, for sure. I don't see it failing. It seems like it's stabilized, but there's been some community internal talk about, is it worth it? So I think so. Stator is going to be live. Maybe I shouldn't drop their alpha, but they're going to be live with Phantom X within the next few weeks, actually.
Nice. Yeah, I asked them last time why the X is at the end and not at the beginning, and why Luna is written in small letters and not in capital. let's see if it's Phantom X and then the T and the M is also not in capitals. That would be hilarious.
That
they
would
should
be.
Keep on with that.
I think so.
If they did it. Yeah. No, cool. Yeah, then let's talk about the Phason protocol, right? A little bit what is happening here. I was super excited when you guys reach out and say, hey, would you like to support here as a mod and just have a little bit of conversation about this? And I said, well, more than happy to do so. If Anchor Protocol is involved, I'm always happy to be here. So maybe you guys take it away and explain, first of all, a little bit what this new protocol is doing, because I think a lot of people maybe have not heard yet what you are doing or what you're aiming to do.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good. So Phason Protocol is a interest earning cross-chain DEX. So like if the audience doesn't know like what perps mean, like it's basically a very capital efficient way to trade crypto with leverage. So we are such a DEX. And like our testnet we're launching this month and it uses Anchor Protocol, basically AUSC as collateral. So users, traders and LPs can earn around 19% APY for like all activities here. So like unlike most DEXs, Phason Protocol uses decentralized stablecoins. Like we use we use USC as quote token and use AUST for collateral. We also settle the P&Ls and also settle all the funding payments in AUST. So like our team believes that a decentralized economy really needs a decentralized stablecoin. And so right now, like if you take a look at it, AUST, it's really not getting used, right? So you have like Mirror Protocol. So beyond that, there's nothing. We believe like our protocol can make AUST popular, and like in return, it will also make UST more popular. And one thing is like we are going to deploy on EVM transfers instead of Terra. That's like important because like right now there are already some perp DEX on Terra, like for example Vertex, right? They're doing perps for Forex. But like outside of Terra, you take a look, there isn't really any perp DEX using like USC or AUSC. And like we align our mission with Terra in this sense, right? As like Anchor and also USD is going cross-chain, we also want to help USD to go cross-chain. Yeah, like in a nutshell, we are perpetual DEX, which use AUSD for collateral, funding payments, P&L settlement. So traders and LPs can earn around 19% APY while trading here. Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. No, super cool. I mean, I have myself now the first perp trading experience last week with Levana Protocol with their testnet. I mean, it's if somebody knows how trading works also within crypto, there's more derivatives trading by far than normal spot trading. So this is super important. And I also know that Nate is way more of a professional trader than me, which I just discovered a few months ago and I was super surprised. So Nate, did you basically put this here together and said we need AUST on a perp DAX? Is that the truth?
I wish. No, they came to me and I was like, rock on, guys. Let's make this happen and let's figure out how we can make Anchor Borrow happen for you guys over there too. And I was obviously completely behind the idea of getting UST as the main stable coin behind the DAX, right? That you couldn't have a better cross-chain use case adoption, right? That's another use case for UST that's not Anchor, right? So we definitely need some more of those. Maybe you could talk a little bit about too, like on what chains you're launching, why you picked, I'll let you go into that because I know we've talked about it, but how about you jump into that a little bit too?
So you were asking about like our plan for why do we choose which chain we use or which chain we use, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let users know like where they can use this on, right? Once you guys are going live, I think is important.
Sure. So like our plan is like this. We will launch on RinkMe this month. The reason is like it is quickest to launch on RinkMe. Other chains need some other dependency. Then like we will launch on other chains, most likely on AVAX and ZKSync 2.0. So with AVAX, there's already Anchor there. So, and there's very high TVL. So it's really simple to launch there. And like for ZKSync 2.0, like we always want to launch it. Right now it's kind of like blocked by their Solidity support. Like they only support Solidity 0.8. They're actually working on it. So like once they unblock us, we'll launch on ZKSync 2.0 as well. We are pretty bullish on ZK stuff. We can talk more about it later. Yeah, so I think the main reason, like we want to launch on Terra, and we talked to a lot of guys, including Nate and like some other people from TFL, I think. So the main thing is like our main takeaway is like Terra is now actually building a competitive L1, like in the sense of like AVAX or Solana. Its main goal is to build out like its decentralized stablecoin, primarily UST, and to make UST popular among all chains, like all major chains, like if not all chains. So that's, I think that's like our main takeaway. So if we want to make UST more popular, like among all the chains, and right now I think 90% of chains, major chains, they are EVM based instead of like in Rust, right? So it really makes sense to launch on other chains first. And the other thing is like Terra already have some awesome perp decks like Rodex. So yeah, that's why we switch to EVM chains. Like,
yeah.
Then like, yeah, go ahead.
So just maybe a point, because maybe not everybody is aware of this, because I mean, I myself not so active on ETH anymore. Rinkaby is basically one of the testnets on ETH, right? So yes. Basically it's deploying on Ethereum, and that's one of the things you say also, because EVM chains are still the predominant chains in terms of if you sum up all the TVL around DeFi next to ETH, like Avalanche itself being an EVM-enabled chain. We have Phantom out there is EVM-enabled, right? And many others that you say this is right now where the music is playing. And on the other side, it helps also to get more off-chain liquidity for UST, which is crucial also to hold the pack and make it more resistant over the long time. That's what I understand here on my side. So can you maybe also elaborate a bit on when you decided to go for AUST instead of UST and what benefits you see there in terms of for your protocol, for Anchor, for use case, and maybe even also for the user who wants to then take, of course, always just a leverage long on Luna on your platform in the future?
Yeah, sure. So we have decided to use AUST from the very beginning. It's pretty clear to us. So we are Anchor users, like our team Anchor users. And like when you use Anchor, you deposit UST, right? And then get AUST out. But there's like I said, there's no other place to use AUST. There's like $10 billion sitting there doing nothing. So what can you do with it, right? So it's pretty obvious to use AUST as a collateral, like to trade things, like for example, perp, right? And so users can earn very high APY by trading or being an LP. And like the perp trading itself, it's a very huge market. Like I think it comes for 16 to 17% of total crypto trading volume. And like using AUST is clearly a value add to the perp DEX. Also, like AUSD is pretty decentralized because like it's a derivative of a USC, and like we think, like we are a huge believer of Terra. We learn Terra a lot because like we think, take a look at the USDC and USDT, right? They have a huge market cap. Their primary use case is just for trading. However, right now, UST like doesn't have a major use case beyond Anchor yet. Like it won't be like in the future, but right now, main use case is just to like be using Anchor. Like our team truly believes in the value of a decentralized stablecoin. Like for it to be really useful, like for the UST's market cap goes from like say 17 billion goes to 10x or even like 100x. We think the UST has to be used for trading as well. And yeah, so that's why we use we choose Terra because like, we believe in decentralized stablecoin, and we choose AUSD because it has a very high yield. Yeah.
Yeah, got your point. Good one. And I mean, as a community member, I guess I would also like to say thank you in terms of that's what we need, right? More use cases for UST. We had yesterday the amazing news, at least for me, I think it was yesterday night, of Binance US also using a UST. You have now the pair between Bitcoin UST changed up on Binance, so it doesn't look like that UST has depegged into zero, which always looks a little bit weird. So I think it's great news to have more and more use cases over there. I would like to address one quick, let's say, community question to you, Nate, or the Anchor team in terms of how do you see AUST used on such platforms? Also, because there is now more volatility in the rate, or maybe that's something also back to the team here of FISM protocol in terms of is this a problem that it will be volatile? Is this part of the plan, or how do you guys see this? I don't know who wants to take this, the Anchor team or FISM protocol.
I'll take it first and then kick it over to them to get their thoughts. You know, the way I see it is, you know, margin can be variable, right? And this is kind of, you typically pay for margin. So to get paid on your LP marketing positions, like that's a tremendous benefit, right? So to have a variable rate, even if it was like 4%, is huge, right? You're making money on top of making money. So I think a variable rate is quite fine. It really determines what the risk-free rate is when you're making markets. And that's really what you should be getting as an LP provider, in my opinion.
Yeah, FISM protocol? Go ahead.
Yeah, like we agree with Nate. And like we think the variable is also fine. Like because right now the interest rate is high. Like also like adding on, we talk about the earning side of Anchor, and also there's like borrowing side of Anchor. Right now we believe the APY for borrowing is around like 4% ish. Like it's pretty low. Like we want to integrate with the borrowing side for Anchor as well, because we believe like for Anchor to be successful, it's need to grow rate on the demand for borrowing as well, and for perp trading. We typically see on the centralized exchange, people lend a lot of money for trading purpose as well. And we believe like we will integrate with Anchor for the borrowing side as well. And like people will pay APY for borrowing as well. Like even variable is fine. It's pretty low.
Can you help me and just explain a bit how you will integrate it? Because as I said, I'm not a big trader myself. I haven't used any per platforms on a hardcore basis every day. So you already partly said there is a need for this, but will it basically be the typical borrow side on Anchor as a web app integrated also into your protocol? Is that what it is?
So like it depends on the earning side and borrowing side. So for the earning side, it's very simple. We just call the like smart contract Anchor on then stock. And for the borrowing side, we are talking with Nate a lot. Like we actually are waiting for the borrowing SDK for Anchor. So after that, would be really easy to integrate. We just use the SDK of Anchor, and like people can use Anchor like on website. So like internally, it will call Anchor protocol, but users actually don't know. So for users, just click a button, and then boom. Money borrowed or money saved.
I like the boom money. I heard the borrow SDK. Nate, what is that?
Yes, another little bit of alpha. I've been saying for so long, like, okay, we've got, it's the same thing I was talking about earlier on this call, right? It's like, okay, we make the earn side really easy, but you need to have borrow to make that earn work. And bingo, big market gap, we have no borrow SDK. And so I was talking with Pheasant and about them actually integrating in. I'm like, there's like an aha moment for me. I'm like, okay, here's a great opportunity, right? AUST on LP pairs makes sense, right? But it only makes sense if that platform is also facilitating a borrow market to actually generate the yield for the LP earn side, right? So we're like, okay, this can make a lot of sense. If we can easily have a borrow SDK that everyone could just plug into, every decentralized exchange could start doing this, right? And then you could actually create a sustainable pairing of LPing and borrowing on leveraged positions. And this gets really interesting because in the traditional capital markets, the majority of stuff's traded on margin, right? It's traded either through futures or options, which are all leveraged long positions, right? So to be able to borrow natively on chain, because you know we're gonna have the borrow SDK work cross chain as well, right? This creates a very useful value proposition. So when we get the one click borrow down, you can just borrow Luna on Pheasant, right? And then take that and create whatever other kind of yield bearing strategy you want, which then further generates yield with the AUST. It's just like a beautiful pairing.
Gotcha. That's just amazing to see where all of this is coming together and also making it more accessible. I think a lot of people, that's what I said, at least for myself, didn't realize how huge it is that you have an already cross-chain with Anchor on Avalanche. You can natively interact on Avalanche with Anchor. And if this is now the start for also the borrow side to go basically natively cross-chain, can't wait to see that in action. I think that that's an amazing use case. So maybe we move on a bit. So I understood now for myself, AUST on Pheasant protocol, that's coming, that's making it also interesting. What other interesting use cases do you have for Pheasant protocol in terms of what makes it unique? I think you also explained earlier that you will be integrated with the ZK rollup stuff. Maybe you can explain a bit what is up with that, or in general, what other interesting use cases you will have.
Yeah, so we have two key differentiators, right? One's like we use USC and AUC. The other is like we plan to be on ZK rollups, which we believe is like one of the best scaling solution on blockchain. So so we will briefly explain what it is. So basically ZK rollup is a scaling solution that solves the blockchain trilemma. Basically, like for typically for decentralization, security, and scalability, you have to sacrifice at least one of them. For example, like ETH 1.0, it sacrificed scalability, and Solana sacrificed for decentralization, and like multi-chain ecosystems, like for example, like Cosmos sacrifice security. So ZK rollup is a technology that makes like all of it possible. It sounds like too good to be true. So it does so actually by moving the on-chain computation off-chain. So what it does is like it computes a bunch of transactions in batches, and it posts the computational result back to L1, back to the base chains, for example, Ethereum. And like within each batch, it contains a proof. Basically, it's a proof saying, hey, this computation is correct. So even though the computation is done off-chain, like on-chain, you can verify the computation is correct. So it saves the cost by moving the computation off-chain and still keep the decentralization by putting the verification on-chain. So that way, like with ZK rollup, the transaction will be very cheap, and also very secure, and also very decentralized. So right now, there are two leading ZK rollup providers on Ethereum. They are ZK Sync and Starkware. So we are going to use ZK Sync 2.0. It's in testnet right now for ZK Sync 2.0. The main is going to launch in a couple of months. It's EVM compatible. So like all smart contracts on Ethereum or on, say, Apex can be migrated to ZK Sync pretty easily. And now it takes around 30 cents to do a token swap on ZK Sync. It's pretty similar to, say, Terra or AVAX. But what's cool about it is with further optimization, like there are already EIP 4844. And like after that's implemented, the transaction cost would be like, in theory, it would be like $0.003. It's like pretty negligible. And we believe in the long term, the transaction on cost on ZK Sync will be like really, really low. So we can ignore the cost in general. And thus, like this, if we migrate on ZK Sync and like within reasonable feature, it will open up the design space for DEX a lot. For example, we can do like order book on Chain, which isn't really possible other than Solana, which isn't decentralized. It will make our DEX like really, really capital efficient and like also make our DEX very cheap and very fast and still being decentralized. So our belief is like a couple of years later, the dominant player of perp DEX will be on ZK rollups. Like if people are in this space, like they should know like UIDX is on Starkware. It's on like, which is one of the ZK rollups. It's very cheap. So like we are very bullish on ZK rollups. And like we believe like if the a lot of future finance activity is going to take on ZK rollups, like we should make UST and AUSD popular in this like ZK rollup. Like otherwise, like people still use USDC, USDT. It doesn't make any sense to us. Like say, because it's now censorship resistant and also has a lot of counterparty risks. Yeah. That's why we're bullish on ZK rollups. That's why we are going to build on it.
Bullish with you on that. We see a lot of problems with optimistic rollups, and I'm not bearish against optimistic rollups. I'm just stating the we see like the key benefits of these things. Just with Wormhole, we're already running into issues with optimistic rollups, right? Because you have to verify. So to do a rollup, you have to actually verify the past transactions to a certain degree. And you have to have a methodology for doing that to then verify that over a bridge. We then have to verify that their methodology of the rollup is actually correct. So optimistic rollups are, that's the alternative to ZK rollups right now, just to paint that picture for everybody. So you've got like Arbitrum and Optimism that are working with optimistic rollups. So you have that issue there. But yeah, really bullish on that. I think it makes a lot of sense. And you know, central on-chain limit order books, maybe we could talk about that a little bit, because I think that's something that's often overlooked here in the trading space.
Nate, just one question there quickly before we move over to that one. Which UST will be used on FISM protocol, right? Will it be Wormhole? Will it be Axler? Because you said basically that Wormhole goes maybe a different direction. I don't know if you can talk about which UST / AUST will be used.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You can go ahead.
No, I haven't actually talked about this yet, so it'll be good to see where you guys are at.
So now we are running testnet. So we are just like maintaining AOC ourselves, like ourselves, like for the minute, like most likely Wormhole. Like we still haven't reached that point yet. Yep. For testnet, we just mean it ourselves. Like Nate, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, no, I think Wormhole makes a lot of sense. Obviously, we've picked Wormhole as one of the major bridge providers for what we're doing. Core TFL is using Wormhole as well. They're also Axler as a backup to that, and Synapse when Wormhole isn't an option. But yeah, I think Wormhole is a great use case. You've got Layer Zero coming out too, which could be interesting. But so far, Wormhole was one of the first to the market, right? It's got a proven technology at this point. Jump Capital's got a lot of great backing behind it, which is also important. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
But we cut out the teeth earlier when Phasm Protocol said that they're minting UST themselves. This is not I see already people cutting that piece out and saying, you see, that's what it is with UST out of thin air.
Hilarious. Good call there.
Cool. Well, take it from here with the other pieces also.
I want to bring that up because I don't want to get too granular on this call and lose everybody, but the constant product market maker function, the K equals XY is a really inefficient formula. And the reason it exists is because of the limits of on-chain data, right? It costs money to do that. A central limit on-chain order book becomes a lot more interesting because now you're not necessarily limited to that X equals KY or K equals XY equation. But the cost, the only reason you see this on like Solana, and just to be clear, it's not just on Solana. We have some on Terra too. Vertex is going to be launching with a central limit on-chain order book as well, because the cost to do that on Terra is actually manageable as well. But yeah, I see them as the future. If you look at traditional market making, they're not just running one simple equation on a curve, right? They're spreading a lot of different gamma and vega risk, which is different volatility measures like portfolio convexity and things like that. So you need a central limit book so that you can actually move the spread on the market. So when volatility increases, the spread on markets increases, and having a central limit order book allows market makers to actually move when markets move, and that's really important.
Yeah, so that's like this is a really right. So that's how we're going to explore to do like possible order book, like, or maybe like hybrid order book plus AMM in our V2. Like our V1 is very simple. Our V1 is actually AMM running on Rinkeby, and we'll be running on AVAX, possibly on AVAX and ZK Sync, because like starting with AMM allow us to launch the quickest. Then like on V2, we explore to do like at least we'll try to like integrate order book or like order book plus AMM like in our DEX. So yeah, that's something we're exploring in V2, which also will be in this year.
Yeah, and Nate, maybe you need to open up a forum article just to explain the different kind of versions of order books that there are. So I love the word CLOP, right? What you said, basically explaining what you were there. But I think it's fascinating what is happening on that space. What do you guys think? Should we start opening a little bit up the AMA if people want to request and come up and ask any questions to both teams? Just raise your hand right over the microphone. You can click request. But before we bring up people here, anything that you guys think we haven't talked about yet that you would like to get out there? Because also the topic of when token, right? I think if it's a new protocol, we always need to ask, is there something else in terms of token with PISM protocol? Is there maybe something in like AUST holders will get an airdrop? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here, right?
Yeah. I think before questions, maybe they can jump into a little bit about their tokenomics, possible airdrops, possible token launches, who's investing in it, and then maybe turn it over to questions.
Yeah. So you want us to start with the airdrop, the tokenomics right now?
Maybe leave the airdrop for the end. It's probably everyone.
Sure.
Everyone's gonna drop off if you drop the airdrop first.
Like I was confused. Like I thought like you guys asked him to answer a question first. Okay.
So tokenomics now, sir. Go ahead.
Wait. Now or in the end?
No, take the tokenomics now, then take us to the airdrop, and then we open up the question.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, sure. Cool. So first, on the airdrops. So our team won't launch the token, right, until the protocol hits the so-called product market fit. Or put another way, before our protocol has any value, we won't launch the token. Like there are a couple of reasons for that. So one reason is like we don't want to test our human nature, right? We don't want to raise, they say, tens of million dollars sitting on Pyre Cash and test it and see if we'll still work hard. Like we know we work, we'll work hard, but we don't want to test human nature. And then we also want to grow the PZM protocol more organically in the beginning, because otherwise a lot of airdrop hunters will come. It will add a lot of noise. And the other reason is we want to have more time to design our better tokenomics, right? Right now we haven't spent all the time on it. We need more time. The last reason is we want to find like-minded investors who are more long-term thinking. So they don't want to just raise some tokens and then dump it. So current ETA for token launch is in Q4 2022, this year. So like when VZEN V2 launches. But again, the most important thing is like, if we don't find like this protocol provide any value by that point, we won't launch the token. So no token until we find value for the protocol. And then like on the rewards, there will be retroactive rewards for testing users, but it's really more of a gesture for appreciation. So like if you're here like hunting for free tokens, like we can guarantee you like it won't be worth your time. It won't be like a lot, right? But like if you're genuinely interested in learning more about us, that's totally awesome. So we really welcome you to join, like test us out and like join our Discord. We have a link in our Twitter profile you guys can check out. And like for the tokenomics, like we said, like right now we don't have like very detailed tokenomics. All we know is like the community will get at least 15.6% of initial token distribution. So like we want to give out the majority of the tokens to the community. And like I said, for the retroactive rewards, there will be, but the mechanism is still undecided. And like for these rewards, there will be no vesting, and like our protocol will cover the gas fee. And we will airdrop these tokens to the people who will be rewarded. And there will also be inflation after the vesting period. But the inflation rate will be very low. We already see some protocol like going, like the inflation is crazy, and then people start dumping it. This isn't good. So like finally, the last but not least, like our team hasn't actually figured out the exact tokenomics yet. We know it's very important, but there's no point in like, designing a very like solid tokenomics before we actually find a value for the protocol. Because we think token more as a value capture for the protocol, right? So right now, since the protocol has zero value, the token will capture like zero value. It's like if we launch it today, it will be like actually a scammy project. We won't do that. So yeah, like after we find product market fit for the protocol, we'll launch the token, like hopefully in Q4, but no promises. And yeah, like if you come for free tokens, I don't even bother, but yeah.
Q4 promise, I heard.
No, but isn't that a very pragmatic way to look at it? How many projects, like their token price just tanks because they launch right at their product launch before they've proven any revenue streams, before they've proven product market fit, before they've proven that they've got a sustainable revenue stream? Really smart thinking there. Really like that kind of angle you're taking.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan. I mean, I think we are all here, of course, that we hopefully hit that one token, which goes crazy, which I think most of us already found in Luna, and hopefully a lot of other tokens in the Terra ecosystem and other ecosystems. But in the end, I'm a big fan of forgetting the token and focusing on the product itself, because, I mean, the token should help ultimately to capture revenue and decentralize voting power. Right, those two pieces. But the heart of the protocol, like also Anchor, it works without the ANC token. I mean, until VEANC comes. But at least for now, as an example, right? So why bother about the token price, unfortunately, gives a lot of vibes in the positive or negative direction about a protocol. And devs do something is set quickly because of a price of a token, which is not reflecting maybe what the protocol is literally out there doing, hopefully in the right way. So I think it's a good idea to just say, let's do a product, and then anyway, in the beginning, it's centralized because the team needs to have the possibility to act what you are doing, you're developing it. And then once you have clarity, you can move on. But give me one information. Why 56%? Is that any kind of insider that I need to understand? Usually it's 42%, right? This is a surprise now.
That's only a rough number. So the core is like we want to give like at least half to the community.
I was expecting kind of a 10-hour story here. Explain
yeah,
why
no
this
magic.
Is the true number. Yeah,
but isn't that much no better? Magic. Isn't that much better? Just build a great community and we reward them. Love it.
Yeah, it's great. It's really, really cool. Anything from your side, Nate, or from the Anchor team to add here in terms of what you see for the future of Pheasant Protocol or how you're also working together?
I think it's great. This will probably be one of the first borrow side API integrations that we do. So this could really set the bar for other borrow side integrations, which is a huge part of Anchor sustainability. So I think this is really exciting. Adding that to what they're doing over there, using UST as default coin on their platform, bringing that to EVN chains for an organic use case makes a lot of sense to me. So I really like what they're doing. Great to be partnering with it. Pretty much I have a rule. If anyone reaches out to me, because obviously people know who I am now and every protocol wants to use AUST, right? They're like, hey, I got this great idea. We're going to put it into AUST and we're going to pay the users 15% and we're going to take 5%. Great idea, right? My new de facto question to anybody doing that, I'm like, what are you doing for the borrow side? And that's exactly what I said here. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. So, you know, more people that want to use the borrow side, the better.
Yeah, good point. I mean, as I said, I'm just a community member and I always see the earn side also as a retail first tool to get attention. That's why the rate is so high. But if there is a protocol who says, you know what, I'm helping to bootstrap both sides, that's way more natural and healthy and sustainable on the longer run, which I think is great. So everybody, if you have an idea how to integrate both sides, reach out to Nate. He has nothing to do the whole day, he just said. So he will come back to all your ideas and talk to you. What is the right way, Nate? I mean, maybe somebody is here, is having also a great idea.
I can't say personally, but we all know it's typically saved for the end of this call. But yeah, go to the forum.
Okay, that's the way to go. Love it. Yeah, I was waiting for the right moment for you to drop the forum.
But in fairness, there's also the Discord too, which I think is an underutilized resource, right? The Anchor Discord. We've got some great community moderators there that can answer like technical questions about Anchor protocol that can kind of pollinate ideas, communicate in real time, right? The forum's kind of like a static piece. The Discord is kind of like the dynamic piece.
Got it. Good stuff. Yeah, then let's maybe open it up a bit to the community. If there's anybody who wants to ask a few questions, I mean, there's a ton you could ask here, right? In terms of how is the integration of AUSD happening? Maybe you want to know more about Pheasant Protocol in terms of how it works. Maybe you want to know more about the history of the leverage trader Nate. Just come up here, request the mic, and then we bring you up and we can talk for a few more minutes.
Hey, question for you. So does Pheasant kind of provide a base function such that you can build basically like kind of robotic trading patterns like, you know, grids and rebalancers and things like that? Or do you feel like the slippage on the orders would be too high for a bit more high frequency trading? Like what's your sense on the spread on orders on Pheasant that would, you know, constitute a profitable trade? Like you know, anything kind of more than like 0.3% starts becoming somewhat problematic for this sort of thing.
Yeah. Thanks, LP. It's a very great question. So like in theory, like since like we are like our DEX is totally on-chain, like anybody can run the bots or whatever by calling our smart contract. Actually you can even like build your own like hedging strategies or even like your own stable coins using our own DEX. So right now, like in the beginning, you know, we believe like I think we just tried a couple of days ago. Like if we put like $2 million in our DEX, if you put in like say 10K trade, the slippage will be less than 0.1%. It really depends on the number of how much you're going to trade, but like for smaller trade, there's no problem at all. And like we plan to, we also want to talk about our like fundraising plan. Because like we want to raise around like after the testnet, then we can truly build up the liquidity for the for a minute. So we want to attract a lot of like LPs or a lot of capitals in our pool. So it can like hopefully like by the time we launch our mainnet, like you can run your bots for different like grid strategies or whatever. So the answer is yes, you can run your different strategies because we are fully on chain. And by the time we are on the mainnet, the liquidity like hopefully will be enough. Like that's our goal. We will make it enough. Yeah.
Maybe give us some idea of like what are the types of assets that will be tradable on the platform itself?
Sure. So in the beginning, like it'll be very, very limited because like we have like limited resource. It'll be like right now we are sure there will be like BTC, ETH, and like depending on the we are on AVAX or ETH, right? We will either add like AVAX or add the Luna. So we'll be like three or at least almost four tokens in the beginning. Then like as we build up the liquidity, there will be more tokens. Like we'll add them one by one. So like if you trade perps a lot, you'll know like the top 10 pairs maybe like counts for at least 80% of the volumes. It's very, the perp trading is highly concentrated. So we'll build up first, like initially for the top tokens. And like after we get this done, we'll add more. But yeah, it's like, it'll be very limited in the beginning and we add them along the way.
Well, all you need is Luna, right?
Only long Luna. Not short, just long, just one direction. Straightforward.
Yeah. Disable the short button.
But going back to Steffi's question real quick, yeah, central limit on-chain order books open up a wide range of possibilities for certain trades like that to happen. Obviously there's a limit, and I'm not sure what that is. It would be interesting to see like if high frequency trading really can exist on, and what chain can that exist on. And I think we're getting closer to testing that as more of these on-chain order books come out.
And not necessarily does it have to be high frequency in the sense that you know, thousands of people are, you know, running separate you know, bots for this purpose. It could theoretically be like a single protocol that is running like a vault strategy where the orders are, you know, batched, where like, you know, the pool of money of, you know, everybody in the vault is being executed in this type of trading strategy. And of course, like with larger orders, then, you know, questions of like front running and problems with front running and potentially just like slippage concerns start kind of playing a role in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
There will be a future with the Steffi getting a rebalance on chain. I see that one, even if it's still not that close, but probably it is closer than we expect because people always keep developing. Let's move maybe on also because we have now several speakers up here. Let's give it to Andrew Foreman. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Great AMA. Really excited about what you're building. And like also excited just to go use ZK Sync. So looking forward to getting over there. I guess a couple questions. One for Nate and the Anchor team. Like, could you maybe talk more about the how the bridge works there? And is it like almost like a portal just for the AUST? And like, would there be a user feature in addition to the SDK? And then for the Fezzen guys, like I've used some of the other perp dexes on Arbitrum, GMX, and TracerDAO, and I was wondering if you could just do kind of like a future comparison to some of the other perp dexes, how you guys are handling price feeds, vaults, routers, things like that.
Yeah. So the way the bridge works is it's two way, and so essentially, simply put, you're just sending a token with a different wrapping, right, and a messaging standard. So let's just take AVAX for example. Yes, the AUST is sent over the wormhole bridge to AVAX, and then it rests in a wrapped standard on AVAX. So it's wrapped AUST for the users. When they borrow, though, against SAVAX, that AVAX is sent back over to Terra. So it exists on the CW20 side is WAS, was AVAX. And so the bridge works both ways. And then the UST that they borrow is sent back over to Wormhole as UST. It's actually a wrap standard, but we've worked with a team over at Trader Joe to have the default UST standard on AVAX to be Wormhole, but to the user, it's just going to be UST. And for anyone that's over on Trader Joe, there's a Axlar pool that's been decommissioned, so you will actually see UST.AX, I believe, or something like that, or AL. That's a pool that's being decommissioned. But yeah, we're working to make it very simple. The default bridge will be the default, quote unquote, native token for that chain.
Got it. It makes a lot of sense, and I like simplifying the abbreviations because I feel like using all these different bridges and DEXs recently, like the abbreviations and the suffixes to these tokens has kind of gotten out of hand.
Yeah, it's a headache. Oh, and to your other question, yeah, you can go to the shuttle if you want to from a user and send anything you need to Avalanche or the other chains we have on the shuttle.
Cool.
And I'll go through Wormhole.
And the second part of the question was to Phasm protocol, right? In terms of comparison to other platforms?
Yeah, a comparison like you guys are using like a vault and also kind of curious what you're using for the price feed oracles.
Sure. So firstly, for feature difference and then on the price oracles. So the difference, like we have a couple of difference, like one's like we use AOC. So even when you're not trading, you earn like around 19% APY if you put money into us. And also like all the funding payments and also the P&L will settle in AOC. So like your asset will always earn yield. And that's like one big benefit. And the other one is like a lot of exchanges like Curb still don't have like limit orders, stop orders. We will have limit and stop orders before a minute. Then the third big one is like we will have a borrow side integration with Anchor. So if you want to do margin trading on platform, the APR is pretty low, the 4%, like sometimes even more low rate. They know that. So it's best place to do margin trading like among all the DEXs. And like you mentioned a couple of the different DEXs, like GMX, we also use it a lot. But so for GMX, it takes the orders, like the price it takes the orders, it's from the, like say, index price, right? So it takes the price from the other exchanges and do the trade. It's different in our DEX. Like the price will always be cited like among our own DEX. So it's like more, I don't know how to put this, like more or less prone to the like manipulation of prices. Then goes to the oracles. Like for our V1, like right now we use Chainlink. And like in the future we will integrate with other protocols as well, like Band. There are a bunch of other more protocols. Like we want to make our oracles like more resistant to price manipulation. And yeah, so we use Chainlink for the moment.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think that's what those guys are doing as well. I think that's something I've heard is just like, there's a lot of data work that needs to be done to bring in reliable and decentralized price feeds, which is probably just like more of like the boring, like meat and potatoes work of actually making the perp trading work.
Yeah, important.
Cool. Thank you, sir. Great questions. And then let's move on to Degen Kitty Guild. Go ahead.
Hey, yo. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited. Very, very cool. I love all this cross-chain activity. Very bullish. I have a couple of questions. One of them is kind of a smooth brain question, and please just take whatever questions you want. So a lot of stuff is happening with this Wormhole and coming out of the Terra bridge. So this is sort of a question for Anchor. And then I have one for Phasm protocol also. So Axelar versus Wormhole, what's happening there? Is Axelar being deprecated? I read that the Terra bridge is moving towards using Portal and Wormhole. Is that sort of the direction? That's like question one. Number two for Phasm, have you thought about, I know you talked about your tokenomics are still getting fleshed out, but have you thought about liquid staking or any sort of alpha you can drop, like, you know, anything, preliminary thoughts there around staking or any such sort of use for the protocol token? And then the last question I have is the Borrow SDK alpha that you dropped, Anchor. Any more information there? Will there be docs? Where is GitHub? When is launch? What kind of languages will it be compatible with? I just want to know everything about it. So those are my questions.
Yeah. That'll be coming. We've got some great devs working on that. I think I'll just leave it at that. The docs will come out with it. It'll explain it all. It's going to have way more functionality than our past SDKs have. So that's really exciting on that front. I wouldn't call Axlar being depreciated. We've just picked Wormhole for certain chains that we're moving to. Getting UST to other chains, we're still going to be using Axlar. They're a great team, great project. Don't want to say that we've totally abandoned them. We haven't. Synapse is also going to be used as well for certain chains. So it's not like all bets are on Wormhole. The Anchor team, we had to make a tough decision, right? We had to pick a bridge to build on to iterate at a quick speed. We can't build tech stacks for every different bridge. That's A, waste resources. B, we can support one of the strongest ones. That makes it so our resources tend to pick a winner that might be more successful.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I'm noticing Wormhole's being adopted at a faster rate than recent partnership. I'm not trying to shill other things, but recent partnership with several chains, it seems like they've chosen Wormhole. So thank you for that feedback. And lastly, for Faison, for liquid staking or anything there, have you thought about locking and any sort of these sort of incentivizations that are happening, becoming more common, this locking and all of this sort of stuff for liquid staking? Have you thought anything there?
We thought like briefly about it, but like now it's like what I say is all only like speculation, because like it won't be set until we are more near to V2 launch. Sure. So in general, like we want to align the incentives of like token holders to be long term with the protocol. So like possibly like locking is like one mean to do that, right? And like you also talk about what are we going to use? What's it used for the tokens? There might be a couple, right? So Wednesday for insurance round in our protocol, like the stake token can be used for insurance round to make our protocol stay liquid, and also can be used for like say some trading fee reward, and like also can be used as a part of like a value capture. Maybe we can like burn some tokens when our trading volumes go up. Like I said, there's a lot of use. I think like for perp dex, the token has a lot of value to manage the risk. And also like we also want to design the whole token to be like, say, so people can want to hold a token in long term, because like the value of a token will capture value, and hopefully it can like grow as a protocol growth, provides more value. And also the lastly, the thing I want to say is like our token design actually hasn't, like, we haven't put a lot of time into it yet. We want to put more time into it once we make sure like our protocol can provide value, once we can build a DEX that people actually love to use. That's like, say, I think that's all I can say at this point. So yeah, but great question.
Thank you. Thanks for having me up. I just want to close with my questions with, I really, really appreciate what you said about you're not going to launch the token until you really have value. I think that's such an important and really beautiful thing that you're doing, because it's just, I see that the direction the community is moving in is one that we're trying to support each other in the long term. So that sort of thing is really great to see. So thanks for having me up. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your time.
Cool. Thank you. Great questions. We never planned this out, Nate, but we usually hit exactly an hour. Which is, I think, perfection.
We're getting good at this. We're professionals.
So where will be the yield reserve in 2 months? Can you tell me that one?
We're not that good yet.
we're getting there slowly. No, super cool. I mean, I'm excited for everything that is happening here. It's so cool that we see more and more UST use cases off-chain, which, as I said, is so crucial for a stablecoin to truly live and hold the peg and be more resistant. I don't know, Faison Protocol, if you guys would like to add something or Nate to basically close this one up here.
I guess, yeah, the last thing I want to say is like we really thank like Anchor for having us here, and thank you, Danku, like, for hosting us. And I want to thank everybody who retweeted about us. There are the people doing other, like, just for helping us. And yeah, thanks so much for everybody. And like if you're interested, join our Discord. The link is in our Twitter profile, and hopefully, like, we'll see you there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting what you guys are doing. Thanks for reaching out. Looking forward to one of the first Borrow integrations. It's truly exciting. From an Anchor standpoint, get over to the forums, the BSOL whitelisting post is live. We'll be getting a pull up for that soon. So that will be another token being added. And then, also keep checking the forums sometime within, ideally the next couple of days or maybe early next week. I'll be dropping that Anchor Borrow v2.1. And excited to hear some feedback on that.
So cool. No, and everybody, just give a follow to Pheasant Protocol and the guys. They are way too kind, right? I cannot tell this for sure after interacting, which I love and enjoy. That's cool in terms of no shilling, just providing, but give them a follow, which is super cool. Nice. Then I would say thanks, everybody, for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Thanks.
Bye. Thanks.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Pheasant Protocol AMA hosted by Danku with Anchor Protocol, recorded on Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CeFi spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving. Try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits. Going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific. The risk is hedge funded the business. Betting on the difference, ingesting all the research. Sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first. Sleep tight, little dreamer. Early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor. Taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension, something to endear myself a little bit, something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an aw sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. When it's final, I don't know. I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll. Tip the first domino. Feeling up, I'm in a bowl with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road. Gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in. I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be ceasing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is. But it is within our self-interest to understand the topography The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.
Terror Spaces.